We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On the line with him, one of my favorite football writers in America. He works at Philly Voice, and he knows the game better than every one of us. Mr. Jimmy Kempsky's on the line. Hi, Jimmy.
Angelo, how you doing?
Jimmy, I like the way you tied in the virus with the football when you said the Eagles now are stockpiling cornerbacks and defensive backs like people are hoarding toilet paper. This is kind of nuts that they only focused on one area, right?
I had a team of writers on that one. but, yeah, it's been all pretty much defense so far. They signed the defensive tackle, obviously. They signed a cornerback yesterday. They signed a safety, a linebacker. And they obviously traded for Darius Slay. So, yeah, it's been really a focus on that side of the ball so far, which has been a little bit of a surprise to me.
But this is what the fans want to know. All these moves, all this money. Are they better in the defensive backfield than they were when they had Jenkins and the other guys?
Yeah, so I think the upgrade from Darby to Slay is much more substantial than the downgrade that we should probably expect from Jenkins to Jalen Mills, who looks like he'll take over Jenkins' role as sort of like the do-everything guy in that defense. And then I think the corner that they added yesterday is actually pretty good. I don't know if it's Nickel or Nickel.
I've heard it pronounced both different ways. Nickel, Nickel.
Right. Yeah, we'll go with Nickel for the rest of the conversation. Nickel Robey Coleman is actually a very good slot corner. So I think they actually have improved the defensive secondary substantially, because I think Slay really is a major upgrade over Darby.
I got to tell you, Jimmy, nobody analyzes tape of the games in our media better than you do. How much, if any, was Malcolm Jenkins losing over the past season or so?
So I think he was just becoming a different player. Like it was less of a traditional safety this past year, and really maybe even a little bit more of a linebacker in a way. At the end of the year, you really saw him kind of take on, not an added role, I wouldn't say, but he became, he was always around the line of scrimmage. And as a blitzer, he really made a lot of impact there. You saw the one play, I think it was the Giants. It was the Giants or Washington, where he blitzed. It was the Giants. And he forced the fumble on Daniel Jones, and the Eagles recovered that. That was, one of the biggest plays of that game.
Yep.
So I think he still had plenty left in the tank, but he was probably transitioning more to like a box safety role / linebacker kind of role. And, I think it's a mistake that they let him go. I think it's pretty clear to me that they just didn't want him anymore, because they could have easily given him what he got from the Saints, in my opinion. But I think they just wanted to go in another direction. And like I said, I think he has plenty left in the tank, and we'll see if that bites him this season.
All right. I am now shocked. All right, Jimmy, I'm going to tell you why. Because it's not logical to me, which you just said, that they know he's still a good player, not a great player, but he's also a great leader. And he also means a lot to the team. And
yeah,
they were tired of him. They said enough is enough with him. And I don't get it. Do you have a theory as to how they came to that decision?
I don't. Money was probably a little bit of a factor, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, I really don't know why you would not want his brand of leadership in that locker room.
All right, well, I'm going to tell you something, Jimmy. I'm not good at reporting anymore, but I'm really good at speculating.
Yes.
And I think it has something to do with Jim Schwartz. I have a feeling that you had a very powerful leader on that team, and that Schwartz is power hungry. and that he didn't want that. He felt like it was a different message than the one he wanted to send. Could you tell me, overview at least, Jim Schwartz's involvement right now in the decision-making of personnel in this offseason?
Well, I mean, you've seen over the course of years that they've brought in a ton of guys that have worked with Schwartz in the past. And I think it's, you know, guys that they bring in, there's little doubt that he's heavily involved in all. Mikel Roby Coleman, for example, played for him at Buffalo. So, like, you have that. You have Darius Slay, who the Lions drafted in the second round when Schwartz was their head coach. So, I mean, even just this offseason, you see two guys that they brought in that have ties to Schwartz, and they've done it for years. So I think there's pretty much, no question about that at this point, that he is heavily involved in these personnel decisions.
Is he got too much power?
Maybe. Yeah, I think that's a fair question. I think maybe what it shows, maybe, is that there's maybe a little bit of a lack of creativity when you're just relying on guys that have played for Schwartz before that Schwartz has comfort with. And maybe they're missing out on guys who, might thrive in a Schwartz role, but we won't know because they're too focused on guys that, you know, Schwartz has already identified as his guy.
The odd part about this is that the head coach's name is just silent from all this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically Jim Schwartz guy, Jim, he's the guy who's calling the offense. He's got a franchise quarterback and nothing's happening.
Yeah. Doug, I don't know if this is a bad thing or a good thing. I kind of lean toward it maybe being a good thing, but he doesn't really want any kind of personnel control. And I think that's maybe more of a good thing than a bad thing, because you don't want a head coach that's, trying to you're not going to have like a power struggle between Doug Peterson.
Yeah, but maybe he should ask for some players at some point.
Yeah,
just a thought.
I just don't think he's interested in that side of football, and just kind of wants to be the coach and, deal with his assistants and whatnot. But as far as, and even that's in question now after this past offseason, but as far as bringing in players, it just doesn't seem to be something that he has any interest in at all.
Jimmy, I got to be honest with you. This whole conversation we have, and it was all, I only wanted you on for the next question, because you promised me the Eagles were getting rid of Alshon Jeffrey, and he's still here. Could you please tell me that Alshon is on his way out? What's going on?
Yeah, so I know a lot of people are wondering why he isn't gone yet, and I'm surprised too that he's still there, but at the same time, what's the rush? I mean, nobody's reporting to the NovaCare facility anytime soon, so it's not like he's going to be in the building or anything like that. I think ultimately what they'll try to do is trade him, maybe, which I think is going to be an effort in futility, and eventually they will still release him. Yeah. But, their focus is on getting him healthy and maybe making him appealing to another team, I would think. But I can't imagine him being on the roster in 2020.
All right, we have cut Alshon Jeffrey, but needless to say, we do need some receivers, Jimmy.
Yeah.
And the other area that you're great at is looking at that draft.
Let's go shopping.
Al Morganti has assured me, Jimmy, that there are so many great wide receivers in this draft that one of them will be there for Howie Roseman. Are you also confident of that?
Well, so when I look at just the wide receiver position, generally speaking, we already talked about Alshon. I don't think you can rely on DeSean Jackson coming back and playing, 16 games. I think you got to count on him being out at some point. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside obviously had a bad rookie season. And Greg Ward is kind of a guy who brought some, brought a little spark to the offense. But I don't think, he doesn't have the size or athletic measurables that you want in a receiver. So it's surprising to me that they haven't really brought anyone in free agency to begin with, and that they are putting all their wide receiver eggs into the draft basket, so to speak. But like Al said, I mean, this is really an absolutely loaded wide receiver draft. And there's, the top three guys are Oklahoma CeeDee Lamb, and then two guys from Alabama and Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs. So if they can get one of those three guys, that'd be great. But those guys are unlikely to fall to the Eagles pick at 21. So if you want one of those three guys, you're going to have to go up and get them. They already traded two picks for Slay, so they're down from 10 to 8. Kind of, you're going to bleed out more picks if you have to move up to get one of those guys. And there's, a lot of next year kind of guys, quote unquote next year kind of guys, that after Lamb, Judy, and Ruggs that, you know, are certainly very good, but I don't know if they're kind of worth pick number 21. So I wouldn't be surprised if they traded back and they'll still have plenty of options to, from sort of that quote unquote next tier group of receivers. If they trade back, if they make a modest move back, but I would imagine that they'll spend at least two picks on wide receivers in this draft and perhaps more.
Here's what I really want to know, though, because I really do trust your analysis of these college guys. Jimmy, when they were at the draft last year and they took Whiteside, did you see that and go, oh, my God, Metcalf and McLaurin was still there and they took Whiteside? Did you see that mistake when it was happening?
So McLaurin, no, because he was okay. More of like a special teams guy at Ohio State. Like his numbers at Ohio State, you know, they didn't pop out. So like I would not have expected them to take him in the second round. But Metcalf, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm surprised that he didn't go soon. I'm surprised he was still there when the Eagles were picking, much less, you know, 9 or 10 picks later or whatever it was, where the Seahawks got him. And I certainly would have taken Metcalf over JJ. JJ didn't really make any sense to me when they took him because his skill set really sort of mirrored what you're already getting from Alshon Jeffrey. And then when they took him, I was like, okay. Like, I knew who he was. I knew all about him. But I didn't really look at him as a guy that the Eagles would take. When they took him, I was like, okay, well, Alshon's going to be gone next year. And then sure enough, that September, a few months later, they give him the contract, not extension, but they guaranteed his 2020 salary. And then it made really no sense at all to me that they drafted this guy in the second round. And then they guaranteed Alshon's contract the following season. Then you have two guys with basically the same or very similar skill set, and you know, I don't know what you do with that. So I did not see the logic in taking Arcega Whiteside a season ago.
That's exactly why I don't have a lot of faith in Howie this time around either. But you got to follow him every day at PhillyVoice.com because Jimmy Kemsky gets it done. Jimmy, always fun talking football with you. Thank you, my friend.
Appreciate it, Angela.
Wasn't Arcega Whiteside one of those guys where it seemed like they were outsmarting themselves? Because
yeah.
I remember there being a mention about, well, a lot of people didn't get to see him because he plays on the West Coast.
Yeah, that's right. The games are at 9:30. You're not watching him. Well, guess what? Now we watch the games he played at 1 o'clock on Sunday, and he stunk, all right? It was an awful decision. And I'm sorry, that McLaurin from game one. The first game of the year, he's beating the hell out of him. We're going, where's our guy? Well, our guy went before him. Why is our guy
that
doing
was a
nothing?
Hell of a pick
and
by
guess
Washington.
What? That maintained the whole year. Toward the end of the year, Whiteside made a few plays. But for all the plays he made, there was so many he didn't make.
When you were on the red zone and Washington was playing,
yep.
How many plays? He was making one-handed grabs. And
then Metcalf burned him twice.
Yeah. Yep.
Metcalf, Al, they got to play Seattle twice here. Lost both games because of Metcalf.
Yeah. That was
now I'm supposed to think how he'll get it right this time. Based on what?
Well, based on he got it wrong last time.
Oh, okay. Well,
Al's playing the odds there.
Oh, no. I don't like this next caller. I already know. Rod, how are you?
I'm good, Ed. I'm good.
Are you going to bring a name up that sets me off every time?
Yeah, I'm going to bring that name up, but I'm going to help justify how you feel about it.
Go ahead.
I was talking to my son the other day because he's off of work with his virus thing. And we were looking at the stats. I can't stand Clowney. I can't stand it.
Jadeveon Clowney, people. That's who he's bringing up.
We need more defensive help.
Go ahead, Rod.
All the talk they're talking about bringing him up. If you look at his stats, and you compare his stats to Derek Barnett, his first 3 years, Derek Barnett has more sacks than Clowney.
Oh, good. Good, because
I looked at the numbers.
So it's just a matter of time for Barnett. Is that what you're telling
Barnett,
me, Rod?
Barnett, he projects to be where Clowney is. I'm just saying that Clowney gets overblown.
All right.
His
do
first
you know?
Year in 2014, he had zero sacks.
Here's what blows my mind about Clowney. Clowney was offered $17 million and turned it down for 1 year.
Yeah.
Now, Rod, there's no way he's that good. He's a cheap shot artist, but I don't. You don't want him on this team, do you, Rod?
No, not at all.
Thank
at
you.
All.
Thank you.
His
good
first
call.
3 years, he had his first 3 years. He had 10.5 sacks.
Okay, and then he got better.
Yeah, and Derek Barnett had 14 sacks his first 3 years.
All right, well, Derek Barnett's got to step it up because I watched him the first year. Rod, I thought the first year he was going to be a killer.
Oh, yeah.
And he is not. He has not progressed, and he needs to. They got to have him because, I mean, Brandon's still playing great on the other side. The middle now, my God, they got plenty of pass rush on the middle. If Barnett doesn't profit from that, he's not that good. Hello.
Yeah, he's not. Even if you break down his career stats, he averages 6 sacks a season. That's
right.
not the money he's after.
I'll tell you one thing, Rod. You got a lot of stats. All right, Rod, give me a baseball person you want to hang out with today.
If I had my choice, it would probably be Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron. Wow. Poor, you know what? One of the more forgotten greatest players of all time. Great one. You stay right there with the – he's still alive, Al, Henry Aaron.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you something right now. What a player he was. Wow. That would be cool.
Man, when I saw that home run, people running up. Was that one of the last times people went on the field?
Yeah. Al Downing, the pitcher, goes over the left center field wall. Tom House catches the ball. Home run number 715. Breaks the iconic mark by Babe Ruth.
Yeah, and then people came out.
And all and a player, some idiot fan chased Henry Aaron around the bases.
Yeah,
and
no one stopped him.
I think he caught him near third.
Yeah, it was crazy.
But if Henry had stopped, he would have throttled that little punk. but then the guy
used to happen
security
all the time.
Guy, yeah, I don't think you'll see much of that
what
anymore.
It ended here.
All right, I got Jim, Tom, Matt, and Jeff. And I got a terrible situation I got to bring up. We come back. The number, if you would like to reach us, is
215-592-9494.
When we come back, my wife revealed to me a mistake I made yesterday. I said that she really, really, really was attracted to Andrew Cuomo,
the governor,
the governor of New York. She said, "I'm not. There's somebody else I'm hot for."
Huh.
And then she gave me the name. I'm going to reveal it when we come back by virtue of a public service announcement made by this Philadelphia sports figure.
Ah.
It's creating a serious problem at home, Al, at a time when I'm home a lot.
Sports figure.
WIP Sports Time 716.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.